welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
How are we doing out there in the world, across planet Earth today? Welcome. How are you doing? Yeah, let's settle on in. We're talking about joy today, and frequently what I find in my work, more so in the last couple of months, with reaching out to less physical on the surface clients only, but with more virtual students and clients and through teleclasses and online and webinars, the questions that I'm seeming to field in the sense that I'm getting, what my awareness is drawing me to be repeating, it seems like, is not only that this is where we are and this is how we get from where we are to where we want to get to as a holistic life coach and an energy healer, but also it seems like we're just not aware of what we can have for our experience in life. It's like I'm spending more time helping people understand. Do you know that there's like a completely different way that you can do this? Like you, like drama doesn't even have to be a part of it. Problems don't even have to be a part of it. I mean, what if there were nothing wrong? What if you were that able to manage your mind? And I do, and I know a lot of people who do. It's completely, and it's not after a whole lot of work. I mean, it just really can center somewhat on a pretty fierce, clear choice. I want happiness. And then every ensuing choice is based on that. There's access to this whole other supply of energy when we get beyond the mind. And we're so conditioned to live just from our minds, to figure stuff out, that this is how we do things on planet Earth. All the stuff I've talked about the cognitive mind before, all that it helps us and enables us to do. But in those moments of being, y'all, like when you're at the beach or on those Sunday mornings or in those quiet moments, when you're relishing in feeling and being there and content, that's the access time, access point, portal, if you will, to where you can reach into getting the energy from the universe. That's the access point there, when you're here now. So it's like a catch-22. When we live from the mind, we don't have as much of a sense of that because our mind can get so demanding and so stern and so disciplined in what we have to get done and take care of, that when it comes to being able to feel and be in those present moments, and then have access to that energy source I'm talking about, we have to have a way to get around the mind. But if we're locked in mind, taking care of stuff and staying busy, we stay there. So frequently, what happens, as Eckhart Tolle has said, the author of The Power of Now, and one of the key ones to help get out to Westerners, the more Buddhist teachings of the nature of the mind, when we can move beyond the lockdown of the mind, there is this whole other source of life, and it is the source to life. But if we stay in the mind, then it's like we don't have the connection with beyond the mind because we're locked in by the mind. It's like there's a lid on the pot, of our head, if you will, in our feeling sensors, because we're locked into life being lived from the mind. Yeah. When you're dating somebody, when you're first thinking about meeting a new person, and we do it online, and we have our qualifications listed of what we want from our list and a potential mate, and we meet them, and we have our, because there was somewhat of a connection once we started talking, or there was a matchup of the requirements on each of our lists, and we meet to see if there is a connection, and we approach it from that way, there's no space other than for the mind to make its demands. Living in a culture that has the best customer service on the planet, we live from the mind making our demands. It's a good thing, customer service and the quality of it. I missed it when I was in other countries. But it does create a certain level of enhancing the mind and its sometimes childlike demands, yeah? There's many factors. The digital world, oh, I'm having a huge orange monarch butterfly flutter right by my head. I've had a stork over my head today, and I've had bunches of great, great, great signs in this connection to the universe, the bigger field that I've talked about in many, many shows. Today, we're in the process of submitting my book, finally, and moving it forward. And it seems like the title, dun dun, are you ready? What if there's nothing wrong? It's not finalized yet, but it seems like that's where we're going. No subtitle, just what if there's nothing wrong? There's a very personal story behind that title choice too that maybe I'll talk about it sometime. But if our point of view creates our reality and we have the point of view that there's stuff wrong, then we're creating stuff being wrong. If we have a point of view that all is as it should be, and whatever gets presented to me, I can deal with the help of my higher knowing, with meaning just getting quiet enough to listen to ourselves, trusting ourselves to have the awareness, the intuition, the guidance, or the answers on how to move forward with something, whether it's, you know, resolving an issue, solving a problem, or how to create something that will have that guidance and that awareness and that knowing inside of us on how to proceed. And then where we don't, that we can trust the universe to get our back. Again, I'm drawn to quoting Albert Einstein. One of my most favorite quotes by him is, "The most important choice a human being can make is if they view the universe as hostile or friendly." So he was aware that our points of view create our reality. You can look at the later quotes of his career, and you can see that theme weaving through them. As he moved from being a scientist and more into having some of the philosophy, and now science gets its roots from philosophy. That was its original field it drew from back before it became the hard sciences that we know of today. It was originally philosophy. We've just separated the philosophy out quite a bit. So Einstein, in his later years of wisdom, after realizing what quantum physics was coming up with, and he himself being in a bit of resistance to the absolute groundbreaking, life-changing discoveries quantum physics was making, with, oh my God, I can't observe under a microscope something objectively. There's the thing called the observer effect with the big O. The big O of the observer effect. And our expectations, our thoughts, our beliefs influence everything around us, because everything is actually alive. There's a pulsating consciousness that I talked about in last week's show, and I've talked about before, under everything at the subatomic level. And we move and engage that consciousness with our thoughts, whether we are aware of it or not. So we can become aware of it and then consciously work with our thoughts. And it's kind of like what, along the lines of what The Secret was saying. But then if we're not aware of it, where, kind of like in the situation where, you know how you go into a new relationship or a new job or a new community or a new group of people, and you end up getting, having the same thing happen, and you want something new and you feel like you've made gains in your logical thinking in your front of your brain mind. I don't want that anymore. I've moved on. I want, for example, one of my clients yesterday, she has been growing in her realization that she wants to get more high caliber men in her life, and starting to become aware of the lower quality of men that she had been attracting. And what we are in the process of doing is, in order for her to attract this higher caliber of men that her mind desires, that she knows that she has the power to connect with and to attract, we need to clear her unconsciousness in her chakras, as I spoke of last week, and subconscious of the old hurts and beliefs that led her to doing certain kinds of behaviors and making certain kinds of choices that she made out of hurt, various hurts and various things that she learned as a little girl. As she stuck out as a little girl, she stuck out her energy, her energetic feelers, to see how mom does it and how dad does it, and to get a sense of how it's done here on the physical plane. So she was taking care of what we talk about with the root chakra. How do I get my basic needs met? How do I get fed? How do I get clothed? How do I get loved? How do I get attention? And what she learned was by absorbing her parents' problems, by them each coming to her and talking about the other parent. So she became the listener. And then later she got hurt, and by a couple of different men, somewhat because of carrying around this belief that she's meant to just listen and not necessarily speak up. And so then she carried that hurt with extra weight to keep herself protected from getting further hurt. So she's walking around with these old beliefs, and yet she has this, as she's getting more and more aware from working with me in various workshops and then one-on-one sessions, that she wants something new for herself, but her consciousness, the unconsciousness and the subconscious hasn't caught up yet. We're getting there because it's filtering from the unconscious and from the subconscious into her conscious mind. Conscious mind means everyday thoughts. So she's having different thoughts and different realizations, and she's behaving and engaging with different men, new possibilities and first-time dates in a different way, and speaking up quicker for herself. But she's still, and she's attracting a different type of guy, but it's still not the caliber that she wants. So we're still needing to clear her of the unconsciousness that's running around her system due to her hurts before, in the way that she learned how to be on this planet because of the way she grew up. I had another client this week who basically went into convulsions on the table, like a mini seizure. It was phenomenal, because what was happening, what I know about seizures is the body, when it gets to a certain level of electricity, needs to just basically reboot itself. And so the body will seize, and it's basically a rebirth time, as it's known in other cultures to be. And so what we were doing was, we were in the middle of working. We had done a couple of different healing techniques. I had used a couple of different modalities prior to then working on something else with her. And then I moved into doing some bars with her. And that's supposed to take away the electrical charge on our thoughts, on our limiting thoughts and beliefs. And we want to keep our hands separate when we receive that procedure, or any energy healing, because we want to just let the energy flow out our fingertips, out the meridians, the lines and highways that I talked about last week, that energy, the subtle energy or chi or consciousness travels along. And so it's like flowing energy in, instead of the jammed up over electrical way that sometimes will make us race mentally. By taking the charge off, it slows us down and it cools us down too. People always by the end of the treatment need a blanket. It's quite interesting. Well, I'm getting heated up. So she went into convulsions and she was okay. I mean, we had hit upon the absolute fundamental way that she had learned to view the world. And this is tying back into how it just seems like we don't know what else is out there, because all we know is what we know. So how do we know what we don't know? By asking questions. What would it take for me to step into the unknown, this next level that I want for myself? And anything and everything that doesn't allow for that, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Yes. times a godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, pock and pod, all nines, shorts, boys and beyonds. Another good process here is, what stupidity are you using for the familiarity that you're choosing? And everything and anything that brings up, be willing to destroy and uncreate. Yes. Times of God, so right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nines, shorts, boys and beyonds. So what I just said was using the Access Consciousness clearing statement. You can go to accessconsciousness.com and look up the clearing statement, or Dr. Dane here under his free stuff. He has the clearing statement explained. And I explained that stupidity process in last week's radio show. It's not calling you stupid. It's calling the thinking stupid. So we don't know what we don't know. All we know is what we do know. So she had this trip up with moving forward into this next level of employment and getting a job that is more based on really where her heart's desires are, and moving beyond just a basic level of living, a little bit beyond her bills, and then a little bit of entertainment, money left over for entertainment, but to really step out and start living differently and making bigger expenditures towards a new life she was having limitation with. She grew up in a household with an alcoholic stepdad, who she thought was a real father until about age 11, and a mother who worked two jobs to make it happen for them all. And this client of mine, she, as a little girl, decided she wanted to help her mom, so she aligned with her mom and kind of resisted her what she viewed as her useless dad, and supported her mom by getting a job as soon as she could and buying all of her own stuff. For herself, her clothes, her car, when she was able to drive, her food, while her older brother was given a car by the stepdad. So she had a view that life is, she didn't have two parents who loved themselves and modeled that. She didn't have two parents that genuinely could model not only self-love for her to learn how to do that, but modeled instead a household that was engaged with limitation and struggle for survival. And so her being absorbed this energy at such a fundamental level, as we all do, that by now, working with her for about 2 years, we have hit the core of it. This is also the breast cancer client I was talking about last week with the lump. That under the energy healing had shrunk by 2/3 last week, and it did shrink again this week. So we were basically getting to the root of something else after having addressed the breast lump, and she started to tremor because it had hit such a fundamental chord in her conditioning. How do I move beyond what I've always known into something I don't know, I haven't yet experienced, but I'm wanting, I'm desiring, I'm yearning for? Anything and everything that doesn't allow for that, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Yes. Times of God, zillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pod. All nines, shorts, boys and beyonds. So if we only know life as presenting us with issues or things to solve or struggle or work at a big company like our parents did, where we get the company providing our benefits and we get a set salary and we get a set vacation time and we're routinized into that. And we come home and we eat and care for the kids and do the laundry and clean up the house and do the stuff around the house and manage the paperwork and pay the bills and watch a little TV and go to bed, do the same thing the next day, and then have a little bit of more open space on maybe Sunday after doing all the errands and household stuff on Saturday, then we don't know what else is out there because it's all that we know. And are we slowed down enough even to listen to the sense that there's something beyond this? And this is part of the reason why, in my view, depression rates have skyrocketed. It is now a bigger burden in the Global Burden of Disease Study, the WTO, the World Trade Organization, and Harvard did a few years back. They found depression to be a bigger financial burden than cancer. So it's striking. The average age, I don't remember the exact dates, it's in my book, but the average age used to be, and I think it's about 20 years ago, for depression in the 50s. Now it's age 14. 14 years old. So part of the reason for the depression is the sense of what else is there, right? I mean, isn't there, there's got to be more to life, right? Yes, yes, yes. And anything and everything that doesn't allow you to experience that, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Yes. times a godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pod. Yeah, it's a big one. All nines, shorts, boys, and beyonds. So, how do we get beyond only what we know? How do we get into it, this other world where it seems like everything is okay? You just start by believing it and by knowing it and engaging in practices that help you to feel it so you can have more of that feeling take over in your life. So let's look at a common practice that I suggest to my clients. Go out into nature at least 3 times a week. How am I going to do that, Allison? My everyday is so full. Okay. Can you take lunch outside? But it's freezing. Can you wear an extra, can you keep an extra sweater or a jacket at work? Oh. Yeah, I guess I could. What about in the morning? Could you get up earlier? Yeah, but I go to bed so late. Why do you go to bed so late? Because I love this show. And okay, choice here. Okay, so maybe I might want to shut off the TV a half an hour earlier so I can get up a half an hour earlier. Oh, and maybe I could delegate those early morning chores I do to my teenage kids now and my husband. Or maybe I could put an ad on Craigslist to ask for a housekeeper or an organizer or look one up on the web. Just keep asking questions. How do I get myself more open space? How do I get myself more time for me? How do I create more joy time for me? The quickest way to feel joy is out in nature, because nature activates our 4th chakra, which is our heart, and that gives us feelings of peace and calm. Our 3rd chakra, as I spoke about last week, is the yellow. It corresponds to the color yellow. It's at the solar plexus, right below the rib cage, and that one is related to joy. A good physical exercise for running is for the 3rd chakra is running. So I love to combine running out in the park, because then I can see animals, and then I can see birds and butterflies, and then I can watch the breeze and the trees, and I can expand like a tree. Our souls are so big. Our energy fields that fit into these human bodies for the time that we're in a body are actually bigger than the body, and they can expand so much when we go out into nature, and they can then connect with the bigger field, and they then can have that sense of expansion and that sense of peace and that sense of ease and that sense of joy. So if you can rearrange something to give yourself at least 3 times a week where you're out in nature and you're able to just allow yourself to expand. Now, your mind's probably going to want to come in and start going over and reviewing everything that you need to do or that you could be doing with this time, or a certain problem with someone or a certain issue, because that is the nature of the mind. And this awareness in and of itself, that our cognitive mind is like a little Pac-Man. It is like that chomping on something, chewing on something, cogniting machinery, cognition, meaning by making my own verb, cogniting, where it wants something to do. It wants to be active, because that's its intention. That's why we have it, is to help us figure out how to get from point A to point B, figure out how to manifest, bring forward, actualize something here on the material plane in life. How do I navigate the physical plane in this body? I use my 5 senses. I have my perceptions of what things are that labels and identifies and concludes and tells me whether I'm learning my own native tongue at age, 2, 3, 4, and 5, or I'm off in a foreign country learning another language, or I am in a new experience in my home country and I'm needing to learn a new vocabulary. I use that mind to help me understand and construe the physical world. When it doesn't have something to do, it goes into what we can call overdrive. So frequently when I teach meditation, it's funny because people in the beginning start to get kind of like they don't know what to do, and they think they're doing something wrong because they think the mind's all of a sudden supposed to go quiet. And in fact, what's happening is it's an opportunity to observe the mind in its sheer love of activity. It loves to do something and have something to figure out and chew on. It is the nature of the mind. So if we're not using it and applying it to something new, if it's the same job that we can do from the subconscious, because it's now become like driving, habitual, that we don't even have to think about really. If our job is like that, then we end up with our cognitive mind wanting something more active to do. And what does it then go to? Yep, problems. Reviewing what happened this morning with him, worrying about this meeting coming up, worrying about this presentation, or excitement and anticipation with plans coming up, but just always in movement. So that is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, that works in a way to block us from that sense of, yeah, the exhale, the reaching beyond that linear, logical, cognitive mind doing its job. So one of the ways to do that, as I've already suggested, is to go out into nature. Another way is to actually pick up a meditation practice. Another way, I'm going to just leave that alone for now. This is just too big of a topic. Another way is to simply get a yoga practice where you're getting more in your body. Another way, especially if you have a really hyper ADD, ADHD mind, is to exercise, because it will bring you down in your body more. And it kind of, like I used to say, I'm going to kick my own ass when I would get on and do a full-on workout, just so I could just have help with going into a different place in myself, my body. And it kind of helped my mind be quiet, especially because in the post-exercise thrill, the hormonal release of the adrenaline, not by the post-workout, no longer the adrenaline, but the feel-good hormones that get released after working out at a high heart rate, starting at least at our minimal heart rate, so that we're in the fat-burning zone, so that we're working at somewhat of a rate. We're not just like a leisurely pace kind of walk, but that we're working at a rate where talking is in the rate of perceived exertion table in the personal training and fitness world. The first level of getting your heart rate up is if you can still carry on a conversation with a little bit of difficulty because of your breathing rate. The middle range is if you're spitting out like every other word or every third word because you're just breathing that much harder and talking is that much more difficult. The top rate of the rate of perceived exertion for exercise is if you can't carry on a conversation. So I'm talking about, I would put myself into that rate, you know, in order to just flush myself of the mind's activity and to get into my body, and then have that after 30 minutes of it, flood of feel good hormones. So that's another really great way to get out of the mind. Another way is to stop watching TV. And try and limit the exposure to pop culture stuff. Try and limit when I say that, there's an awareness in me, and this is a side issue, of the studies showing how self-esteem is affected by, even nowadays, the Facebook pictures and the comparison that goes on that I talked about last week as an example with one's self-image and not feeling as good about oneself because all the availability of seeing reflections of ourselves in pictures now on Facebook, and then the natural mind, not human tendency, but the natural mind tendency to then compare and to make oneself feel bad and to judge oneself gets kicked into place. So the less time we spend using the internet's media that way, the less we're feeding our mind, and the more we can maybe go into a more feeling, sensory kind of mode. I don't mean feelings like emotions like crying, joy, that kind of emotional expression. I mean feeling like sensory, like if our body has a coating of skin, which it does, and there's this physical sense of touch, which there is, and you touch your knee, you can feel that. At the same time, the skin has another whole level of sensory receptors. And they're like our little energetic feelers, and they also come out particularly strong from our gut area, from our second and third chakra, where there's more, why we would have the saying, it's a gut feeling. So there's so much that could be said to help you understand that we are much more than just a mind. that we have all of this sensory equipment to sense at an energetic, subtle energy, non-mental, non-cognitive, linear mind level what's going on in the bigger field around us in all of animate life, and then to connect to it. I know that people sometimes get frustrated with doing affirmations or doing what they consider and call manifestation work, like based on work with The Secret and affirmations and manifesting. And if it doesn't turn around quickly enough, then the mind gives up saying, this doesn't work. This is all just fluff, new age, stupid stuff. And what I know is that this is a yielding universe, and it works interactively with our consciousness. So if we're interacting more with the field, that's a copacetic relationship. If we're noticing the trees blowing, and we're looking at the stars at night, and we're out and we're looking at the animals, and we're interacting with the field with our feelers, our heart being open, and our sensing just the elements of the day, like the climate, the weather, the humidity levels, we're just feeling more. The field interacts with us and goes, oh, there's something awake over there. The more that we can use that equipment in our mind, body, spirit, trinity that we're given, the more interactive our relationship is with the field, the quicker we are actually able to bring something into creation, or what's been called manifestation. It also corresponds with the less negative emotions we have, the less density we have, the less stuck beliefs, conclusions that we have solidified in our body about this is the way the world works, this is the way I do things, this is the way my life is. The less resentment we hold on to, the less blame we hold on to, the less lack of forgiveness we hold on to. Those are all acting as blocks to our energy circuitry, much like I talked about last week. The more we can release those, clear ourselves of those, the more our system runs the subtle energy along the nadis and the meridians, the more this flow of energy, of vital life force energy, then is able to flood out of us beyond basic living energy levels, necessities, and have an interaction with the external field, external to our body. Another way of saying that is the more open our energy field is, the invisible bodies around our physical body, the more open they're able to be and expanded they're able to be. So all of these are ways to get beyond living from the idea that it's just from the mind. And then we start to tap into a level of joy. And this level of joy, I have found, this is so important, and it's so beautiful, and it's so huge. When I'm working with cells with a person who wants to get through an illness, they sing when they've shifted. They literally start to kind of be like, they feel like little kids in a classroom at the elementary school level, all the way up maybe even through the middle school level, that will easily raise their hands and are active and wanting to learn and wanting to know and just buzzing with happiness and life. That's what cells feel like that are healthy. That's the major backdrop of the universe, is that pulsation of life, that yes energy, that vitality, that joy. So when somebody shifts out of illness at the cellular level or the subatomic level, excuse me, with energy healing, I get this feeling that the cells are singing. It took me a while to understand it and be able to put it to words, as much of this stuff is like bringing the invisible out into the ability to talk about it. All of the stuff that's been said before, like the Native American practices, a lot of the tribes refer to Great Spirit as Great Mystery. And in Taoism, it said that, the ancient Chinese culture, it said that if you can talk about the Tao, then that's not the Tao. So bringing these huge fundamental concepts into language is a challenge. So thank you for bearing with me and working to do so. Because it's meant to be felt. and experienced. It's not meant to be cognitive and talked about in a way that's like mind energy or mind activity. But now in working to understand this part of life in, for example, the Chinese culture, it's an ancient language, and it has a word that is one syllable, qi. Our translation for that is vital life force energy. For some of the most basic concepts to life, not about how to get things done and not about everyday matters, but the most fundamental eternal aspects of living in life and breathing and existing. We don't even have terms for it in the English language, as I didn't know until I experienced the Chinese language and Sanskrit in India. Concepts for, it was just amazing. So you feel it now. We're connecting with that aliveness, that joy, that is where we spring from, and that is where there were nothing wrong, we would naturally be. And the only reason why there is anything wrong is because the mind judges it and labels it as wrong and makes a problem out of it. So the more we can learn to detach from the mind and its little Pac-Man labeling and concluding and eating up the physical world so it can cognite and it can work its machinery, the more we can just kind of laugh the mind. One of the tools that I've talked about before from excess consciousness is to say, when our, like, for example, you're working on a new product and your mind throws out the thought, this will never work. Huh, interesting point of view, that point of view. Or this won't get done in time that I need it to be done. Huh, interesting point of view, that point of view. So it's almost like it's not even a ripple on the surface, like a rock that gets thrown into the water that doesn't cast a wave, like there's barely any wave cast by just going, huh, there it is again, or even just making that noise, huh, as if it's kind of like a constant little child that's misbehaving, but nonetheless loved family member / companion. So that a sense of management is engaged with the mind. So the power isn't given to the thought. And all of the circuitry in our body doesn't go into worry and fear and concern. And still taking the steps anyway to resolve the problem, but so our whole body doesn't go into a total hormonal shift. So our biochemistry goes into a state in a condition of stress, or a state and condition of fear, or a state and condition of tightness. Because that tightness that comes from concern and worry and problems focus and issues focus is constriction. It's not that tree limbs and sunflower and flowers expansion. That is the energy of the soul. I feel confident in saying such a huge statement from all of my work and studies and travels and learning and experiences on my own and with clients and all my practices and all the work with Qigong, all of the understanding of the Chinese terms that we don't even have anything close to in the English language, expressing the experience of being alive and how to work with that aliveness. And in Sanskrit too, the intentions behind yoga, all of it is about expansion and reaching out and letting the soul sing. So if soul is a hard word for you, if that brings up too much, well, first off, everything that brings up that you're in resistance and reaction to, or alignment and agreement to, are you willing to just let it all go, destroy and uncreate, so you can be here now and have a new idea? Good. Yes. Time's a godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nines, shorts, boys and beyonds. So soul can also be referred to as spirit. You can also just think of it as joy juice. You know, like instead of Red Bull, let's start packaging joy juice. Actually, I've had people say to me before in the past that I should package my energy and then make it an energy drink. Because that's what I'm running on. It's joy juice. No, it's not like I don't really get upset though. I mean, that's a whole different topic, but I don't. I mean, like it's like what I see actually ruffling other people. It's, and I know some of this comes from living over, in a foreign culture and one that's so foreign, and we learned as foreign expats, American expats, particularly in Taiwan, we couldn't get stuff done the same way, in the same way, with the same speed, with the same attention to detail that we would expect from getting things done professionally here in America. It's just done differently at a different pace in a different way for a whole host of different reasons. So we had to learn how to kick back and unplug from the expectations and just roll with it. And other experiences have, along with those 20 years of meditation, has helped me to just kind of, I barely even have a reaction when there's a possible thing come up that could fluff my feathers. It's just like, it doesn't really exist anymore in my world. I don't know how else to explain it other than that. Because I find it a lot more profitable and enjoyable to be connected with this light energy instead of this. Yeah, you feel that explosion, that opening, that cracking through. Because there's like this lid I have felt too. I've got to give this out to you. There's an energy, a lid controlling this expansion, this burst, this blast of beauty of energy that's inherent to each of us from the fear and the experiences of the last 12 years here in America. With the turns that the media has taken after 9/11 and the turns that the economy has taken and the turns that the government has taken and the turns that the major structures in our society has taken. It's like there's this also this gray cloud, client after client after client after client after person after person after person. I interact with, communicates to me about this gray cloud. They feel like they're walking around with this thickness around them, that it's hard for them to feel alive, or it's hard for them to access a sense of excitement, or there's this deadening feeling and they just don't feel the same anymore. They don't feel like themselves anymore, or these crises to manage, or there's illness to manage, or there's a new disease diagnosed, and then dealing with the treatments or cancer and problems and problems and problems, because that's what the media is feeding us, as we all know. I mean, we don't really need to talk about what the media does and what its job is to do. I mean, it would bore us to tears, would it not, if they started saying, well, Allison Kay did a good thing today for blank because she helped blank out when blank was not feeling good. News at 11. I mean, who cares, right? That's not the basis of how it sells. It sells on sensationalism, which activates our mind into worry and fear and problems and drama and trauma. News at 11, right? We're dealing with impacts now from living a certain way cumulatively for decades. This is the crux of my book, and cumulatively for centuries too, because of the focus of our meta paradigm of, from our sciences, where we're focusing externally, and from the focus of our religions in the West, we're focused externally. Whereas there's other ways to do it, where we focus internally and we learn how to manage our thoughts and work with our minds and work with our emotions and our reactivity and have a calmer, stiller, less reactive presence that can still get passionate, right? That can still get exuberant, but that isn't such a problem child. Yeah. And then we can have access. And it's not like it's either or, and it's not like it's once I've done this with my mind, then I can have access. I don't mean to frame it like that. It's not that black and white, because I mean, I still deal with my mind, but I'm living at a level that I have enacted that subtle energy for so long, so consistently, that I am living in that pulsation on a day-to-day basis. That's where I am. That's where I exist, where I live from. So you can, at the same time as you're listening to me now, have the feelings and the connection to that higher source of existence. I don't necessarily mean divinity. It doesn't have to mean God, and that everything that gets conjured up with God, our biggest father, our biggest authority figure, whether we do good or we get punished, that's God that makes those decisions, that has our situations in life in control, and the one, and is the one in control with our situations in life. Instead, it's more of a co-creative, what I'm speaking of is it's more of a co-creative process where we're co-creating with the naturalness of the consciousness that exists in all animate life that quantum physics has discovered. Again, this is all in my book. I'm not saying in this way of viewing or framing that that doesn't mean that's not an absolute gorgeous creator at the core of this grand, beautiful design of it all. And that the core of all existence is beauty and joy and love. And when we are connected to those feelings, we are connected to a divine source. And so then, therefore, the more that we live from that source, the more that we source our lives from that source, the bigger our lives will be. The more we source our lives from our mind, the more constricted and small and problems and issue focused our lives will be. And everything that brings up, are you willing to destroy and uncreate and let go of? Yes. Time's a godzillion. Right and wrong, good and bad. Pock and pod, all nines, shorts, boys and beyonds. So I dare say, with some of the time remaining, I'm going to go ahead and do a theta healing to help with having increased joy in our life. So here we go. Go ahead and sit back. Please make sure you're not driving a spaceship, rocket, bulldozer, or BMW or any other type of vehicle right now, even a tricycle or a skateboard. Yeah, because you're going to get taken out of the everyday brainwave state beta that our cognitive mind goes at into alpha, down into alpha, which is where we go when we meditate, down into theta, which is where we go when we REM. And delta is where we go. It's one step lower when we're not even dreaming, when it's that deep sleep. So we're going to go ahead and go into theta, as most of my regular listeners know what this means. You might feel kind of floaty. Give me just a minute. I'm going to go ahead and go into it, please. Thanks. Creator, it is commanded, please, that you pull a belief from all the listeners, both now and in the future, at the core level, at the genetic level, at the soul level, and resolve it for them at their history level. Life is meant to be a struggle. Yes, replacing it with life is meant to be a struggle. No, show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the levels, resolving it at their history level. Life is meant to be a struggle, yes. Replacing it with, life is meant to be easy, yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, that you download the feeling of life being meant to be easy to each listener into their field. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives. With ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, that you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. But I've always struggled, and so has everyone else in my family. It's all I see. It's all I know. This isn't going to change. Yes? Replacing it with, but it's all I've ever seen. My family struggle. Everyone I know is struggling. It's all I know. How is this ever going to change? No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I am meant to struggle. Yes? Replacing it with, I am meant to have ease. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. There are always problems. Yes. Replacing it with, there are always problems. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling of being problem-free. teach persons field, listening both now and in the future. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives easily and free. And free of problems. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I don't know how. To live life without problems. Yes. Replacing it with, I don't know how. To live life without problems. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the feeling of knowing how to live life without problems to each listener. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives without problems and knowing how to do it. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. People are always out to get something. Yes? Replacing it with, people are always out to get something. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I am not happy. Yes? Replacing it with, I am not happy. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you download to each listener in their field the feeling of being happy. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you download to each listener in their field the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives happy. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of happiness. Show me. Whee! Creator, it is commanded, please you pull the belief from all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. Life is hard, yes? Replacing it with, life is hard, no. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you pull the belief from all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I don't know how to have joy in my life. It's never been that way. Yes? Replacing it with, I don't know how to have joy in my life. It's never been that way. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I don't deserve joy and ease. Yes? Replacing it with, I don't deserve joy and ease. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I don't deserve joy and ease. Yes? Replacing it with, I do deserve joy and ease. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the feeling of deserving joy and ease to each listener. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the knowing how to go about each of their day-to-day lives, deserving joy and ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of being deserving as a child in this universe and a child of God in this universe. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I deserve punishment, yes. Replacing it with, I deserve punishment, no. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I deserve to suffer, yes. replacing it with, I deserve to suffer. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I can't have an easy life. Yes? Replacing it with, I can't have an easy life. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, that you pull the belief at all levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. Good. I can't have an easy life. Yes? Replacing it with, I can have an easy life. Yes. Show me.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.alisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.